Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets come together from all around the globe to celebrate the written word, to celebrate poetic spoken art performance, and to celebrate a community built that's made for all of us. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the July 27, 2018 edition, at least here in the U.S. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the man who keeps everything moving, my co-host, Mr. JT, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I'm doing well. I can walk again.
This is always good.
I don't know what happens to me sometimes, but it's like every now and then, my body just does something really weird, or it takes something that shouldn't be that big of a deal and makes it a really big deal.
Right.
So for our meeting last Wednesday, I was walking out, and I thought, this has to be what it feels like to walk around with hip dysplasia at a later age in life.
Yeah.
I was walking very slowly, and I could see all the looks of pity from everybody as we were leaving. And I swear someone looked at me and mouthed, "Thank you for your service." And I swear someone did that. And then I looked at them and went like this, "No! No! That was not... I didn't serve anybody!" Don't give me credit for something like that. I didn't do it. But at any rate, I'm now able to move again. Just finished all the stuff for the book. The book, The Adventure Chooses You, my first book out of the 100 that I committed to, is coming out Monday. Really excited about that. But I'm also really excited about just getting here and getting into the poetry as well. JT, you have anything you want to add before we get into it?
No, I think I'm good. This coming week is my last week for this semester.
For this semester in school, yeah.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
Nervous.
Well, you're a couple semesters in. I remember when you started, you were petrified.
Yeah.
And now I'm noticing like these good grades keep rolling in. You're doing good.
Yeah.
I think you're getting the swing of it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's never any doubt in my mind you would do that. So,
Well, okay.
So we're going to get into this. Now, before we get into it, we're going to have a few new rules that we're going to put out. And I don't like having more rules than we need to have.
Right.
You know, I feel like it's good to have just a few that really go a long way. It's like putting one nail to hold something up so you don't have to do five or six. But there's some things that kind of spin out. So there's a few rules I'm going to put out, and then one just ask that's kind of also a rule, but it's an ask, okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the rules.
Okay.
Okay. So the way the show works, in case you're listening and you haven't done it before, is we're going to do segments, groups of five poets, and you read one poem, okay? Then what we'll do is, and you'll get picked up in the order that your call is received. Then if you're not able to get through for that first segment, we'll do another segment, and we'll try to accommodate everyone. Now, then we'll go to a return engagement after that, where everybody who's called in or anybody who wants to call in can call in again. Here are the rules. Number one, no hate speech. It's been a rule from day one. We're not going to do it.
Nope.
That's it. Number two, we try to skew PG-13. So while we're not in the business of censorship, we do ask that it's done in the form of art anyway. And if it starts getting a little gratuitous, we do reserve the right to jump in and suggest maybe you read it during an After Dark segment. Rule number three, when we come on the line, have your poetry ready. Don't be looking for it. Have it ready. Now, we understand if a screen turns off or whatever, that's totally different.
Yeah.
And we can kind of vamp, and I'll do my best, you know, hello, my honey, hello, that kind of thing. However, have it ready. Have it ready when we come on the line. Rule number four. Okay? Rule number four. 3 to 5 minute long pieces of poetry. If we don't go over, if it does go over a little bit, it's still okay. But if we're starting to get up there, it starts to kind of weigh on everyone else's time and being able to call in the show. And we don't want to do that. So please, we ask that you respectfully keep the poetry down in time.
And okay? It's out of respect for the other poets.
It's out of respect for everybody's poetry. Yeah. And it's also the idea of, you know, you can basically gauge how long it's going to take to read something.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's totally fair. Number five.
Yeah.
Okay. Rule number five. If there are questions, concerns, suggestions, you know, we love hearing them. We really do, and it's a good thing. Again, for the listeners, we're going to ask you, send them to us in a message. Call us. You know, send me an email, but don't do it on the air. That wastes everyone's time, and it just becomes prioritizing your agenda ahead of everybody else is not what we want to do. It's all about sharing things here together.
Right.
So that's what we're doing here. So those are the five new ones, okay? So with all of that being said, we've got a great submission coming up in the next segment, but let's do five callers, okay? 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do it.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back for the first segment. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Okay.
You want to try it again?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say it. I want you to just jump on when I say the first segment. Just hit.
Okay.
Okay. And we're back for the first segment. I kind of like the first one better.
So do I.
Okay. Anyway, hey, we're back here for the first segment. We've got five great poets lined up here. We're excited to get into this. Now, before we get into the live calls,
yes,
do you have something you want to share with me?
I was like trying to remember.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you got it. Yeah. So, we're actually too efficient on that. If you noticed. We're getting too good at doing and then we're assuming we should talk to each other, but we already have it handled. Okay, that's not a bad thing. All right, so this is a submission from Namrata Santoki. Namrata, I think I'm pronouncing your last name right, but could you let me know, yes or no, if I am at some point? Just drop us a line, or if you're in the chat room, say something in the chat room. This one's called, I Hear Your Heartbeats in My Dreams. In the serene night when the moonlight shines, where the stars glistening bright, adorning the sky, I hear your heartbeats in my dreams. In the night blooming cestrum, as I curl in the petals, and the fireflies hover, enlightening the beauty, I hear your heartbeats in my dreams. You spin me around to the dancing grace, the eyes shimmering luster, the moon showering its gleam. I hear your heartbeats in my dreams. The heart sings songs of Mary and love to deepen the slumber with a picture of yours. I hear your heartbeats in my dreams. And in your arms you take my glimpse, the satisfaction smiles as the beats synchronize. I hear your heartbeats in my dreams. And that was I Hear Your Heartbeats in My Dreams, submitted by Namrata Santoki.
And she confirmed it. You said it right.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. I was just kind of shooting in the dark there, Namrata. Namrata, beautiful piece.
Yeah, it was.
And thank you so much. I think that's actually one of my favorite pieces. I've really liked what you've sent in before, but that's one of my favorite pieces that you've sent in so far.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's it kind of connects to me on a kind of a musical level as well, which I think is pretty cool. All right, so if you want to submit, if you want to be like Namrata and submit, like all cool people do, you you can do it by sending us your poem to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or going to our website and just sending it in the contact form. There's the only two ways to submit a poem to the show. Cool?
Cool.
Cool. All right, we're gonna go now. I just had to reverse that sentence right there. We're gonna go now to our five callers. First of all, we're gonna go to Pennsylvania and visit with Ellie. Good evening, Ellie.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. It's great to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice, too. Really is. It's a nice summer night here. It's very muggy, and it's like we're living in the jungle here.
It kind of, it's the Colorado version of that, but it kind of feels like that here as well, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I had someone ask me in the chat room, and I don't know if you answered them, but what part of Pennsylvania are you in?
Okay. I was afraid to get in the chat room because I'm going to get in there as soon as after I read the poem because it's a little complicated on my phone. But I'm outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
I'm about 10 or 15 miles outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
In Wayne, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So you're not far away from where M. Night Shyamalan has his ranch where he writes everything, huh? All right.
Really?
Yeah.
I know he's not. He's somewhere around here.
Yeah.
This is the main line, you know, basically.
Oh, well, how cool. Well, I just wanted to ask because someone was asking. We kind of, you know, we knew what state you were in, but not exactly, so.
Yeah, not far from Philadelphia. I can get on the train. About half a mile from my house and be in Philadelphia in about a half an hour.
Wow.
So not bad. Yeah.
Not bad at all. You can do the Rocky thing, go run up the steps and do all that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm not far from all of that, and I never, ever go there. I can't stand crowds. I watch all that stuff on TV, all the parades and everything. So
yeah, you got some interesting fans over there. Anyway, I'll be quiet now.
Okay.
I'm going to let you read. Okay, we'll talk after.
Okay, good. Sounds good, Michael. Hold on. I've got a sonnet for tonight. It's a terza rima sonnet, which is a little different rhyme scheme. And it is called Heaven's Waltz. Years have come and gone since we knew of love. Never a day goes by, you're in my thoughts. I've saved your sonnets, the shells, your white glove. Season of years blown as dusky wind chimes. Silent, sad music of this lonely heart. Sated only on memories sublime. Come be with me, my love, these golden years. Let our hearts be quills of new verse divine, starlit poems with the ink of joyful tears. The universe shall waltz a new beginning, fountains of youthful days, a symphony. At last, our souls, forever sunrise dreams. Come, my love, the moonlight awaits our dance as we praise the heavens, the second chance. The end.
That was a beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt piece.
A little romance for tonight.
Hey, I think the world needs a little romance nowadays.
Yeah.
It really does.
So it's good to be back, and I'm dying to get into that chat room and see who's there and talk with everyone.
Ellie, go tear it up in the chat room. They miss you there.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael. It's so good to talk to you and hear your voice. Everything okay there?
Everything's
family?
Great.
Everybody good?
Everybody's good, right, JT?
Everybody's good.
Everybody's good.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I'll get the heck off the phone so the next guy can get on. But anyway, take care, Michael. Take care, JT. Love you guys.
Love you too.
All right.
Bye. And that was Ellie calling from Pennsylvania. Dude.
I'm telling you.
How is this happening?
6 years.
6 years, but saying the same things at the same time with the same inflections.
Yeah, it happens. There's
people. Have you ever worked for some place for? I mean, we're together a fair amount of time, but it's not like the same as working with someone at a day job, and they don't start doing that stuff.
No.
So here's the thing: we got to think about that. Yeah. See,
that'll be interesting to break down.
It's a little weird. Okay, now we're gonna travel to Michigan to speak with Monsieur Dennis.
Yes, Friday
hey, Dennis.
Night, and I'm here.
All right. So are we, and we're glad you're joining us again.
Yes, it's so good to hear Ellie back on the air again.
Isn't it? I think it brings me back.
Oh, yes.
Especially this lineup right now. Yeah. Especially the lineup.
She's writing some good stuff, and I'm glad she's sharing it with us.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. So, Dennis, I'm going to let you take the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
Okay. The poem I'm sharing tonight, the title is The Life Theoretic by Aldous Huxley. While I have been fumbling over books and thinking about God and the devil and all, other young men have been battling with the days, and others have been kissing the beautiful women. They have brazen faces like battering rams, but I, who think about books and such, I crumble to impotent dust before the struggling, and the women palsy me with fear. But when it comes to fumbling over books and thinking about God and the devil and all, why, there I am. But perhaps the battering rams are in the right of it. Perhaps God knows. In the poem, a poem by Aldous Huxley.
Great read, Dennis, and a wonderful choice. Huxley had some interesting work, don't you think?
He has a lot of interesting stuff. And once again, you've picked out another interesting poet of the month, and one that I've learned to brush up on now that you've named him that. And I'd forgotten he even wrote poetry, to tell you the truth, until you announced him. For his other literary work, he's very famous for. Mm-hmm. But the poetry isn't talked about much, and I'm glad we're having a chance to share some of that.
I'm happy that you're enjoying it as well. We definitely love doing the segment and love hearing what you guys come up with after the fact. So thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate being able to read, and you make my Friday nights very wonderful. So I'm gonna step aside. Like the next poet, step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thanks so much for everything. And that was Dennis calling from the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State. You wonder how much that stuff's actually said. It's probably said quite a bit. Let's head now over to the UK and visit with Titus in the early morning. Good morning, Titus.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing very, very well. How about you?
Yeah, the croaking is gone now. I'm glad you didn't turn on too early. I was coughing, trying to clear my throat.
Well, early morning's never good for that anyway. I remember hearing a story about an opera singer who was asked to sing somewhere, and they said, okay, we'll just show up and we'll have you sing at 9 in the morning. And he says, excuse me? They said, 9 in the morning, because I don't spit at 9 in the morning.
I promise not to spit while I read this.
That's why radio is perfect for this, Titus.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. So what do you have for us?
one of our ladies at the place where I work, well, actually, they've all got a Wikipedia. I'm jealous, aren't I? this lady, it's called a French garden. She's just having her garden done. I took a picture of some of it, and I've explained it to her in a text. She's away at the moment. She'll be back probably tomorrow, and she'll be looking at her garden and reading my poem. So it's called A French Garden, and she likes drinking wine. So, of course, there's little hints of her identity in it, although I can't reveal it. It's called A French Garden, dedicated to a well-known lovely lady, London. I sip some wine and imagine that I am truly in France, is a quote. Location, a secret. The hydrangeas speak across the chair, a feminine verse. Distinctively, there are dreams waiting in that chair. What abundance, my dear sweet-hearted hydrangea, balanced in a niche with sheer romantic tales to air, turning heads they speak among themselves here. Pertaining to French exquisite styles, the larger hats are beautifully made. They kind of grow as a facade, forgetting where we are, and we French bureaucrats of modest means most certainly using the sunshade, overlooking privets of this unique vantage point, except this is a clear understanding that we women shall be left alone, although for ladies' nights anoint a certain ambience, horizons hang their sacred omen. It is well known that small be wonderful, the garden beyond the door, those dreams of ours who succeed in such heat, if seen to be lurking, I beg your pardon, as shade lovers we must now worship a single need. Well, the best of everything, as in those small places, we, the privileged few, we must appreciate this small and evocative part of London. A part of it embraces it somewhere private, somewhere that I do enthrall. A chair, I recall, it separates our topic conversation. The scholar, who, for reasons known to them, is fair to share equally the other plants, simply a donation part of a magnificent French connection to compare. Not some city, I can well imagine, a wealth of luxury, a small realm east of France. As far as advantageous, a wise doctrine to think a small place oh so motherly. Brumath occupies a site of the Roman Brocamargus. Just one of many places we, the keepers of secrets, needless the wait, not to haste, though not to get lost. Many books I've read are about my having no regrets. Few friends, a life of wine, is my paradise, my prize riposte. End of poem.
Oh. Titus, I really, I think resonates maybe not the right word, but that to me felt kind of like how Ellie was referring to the summer nights, or you know, but also the sense of the summer breeze and the breeze that you feel in a perfect evening. That's what that felt like to me.
Well, when she looks out of her French door, she can breathe that and look at the garden.
I think it was so well done. Titus, I'm really impressed. That was so well done.
Okay. And afterwards, when I phone back, it's for George Wiley, a very lovely man. It's a little sonnet for him when I'm on next.
Oh, thank you. All right. Thank you, Titus.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus calling from the UK early, early morning. We really appreciate that he gets up so early, and we appreciate his wife allowing him to, and him just calling and reading us such nice things. It's a wonderful gift, I think, that we don't take for granted here. Yeah. And another person who is not taken for granted here, let's go now to Philip in Kentucky. Hello, Philip. Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Doing really well. How are you?
Oh, you know, sir, just because you picked up the phone, I am that much better now.
Well, that's a plus. It's so easy to please you, Philip.
I know it really. Well, most of the time, it really is, and I do mean this sincerely, even though you may take it as a slight mock, but truly, and maybe a lesser way, thank you for your service with regard to World Poetry Open Mic, sir. Yes. I understand you injured your back, and. You know, I just wanted to let you know I do appreciate that, and you do so much for all of these poets, artists, etc. So it means a lot to me.
Hey, well, thank you, Philip, and it's something we love to do, or we wouldn't do it. But we're happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will be quick because I've got one of those longish poems. And
damn it, Philip!
No. I know. It was going so well, and then he says longish. Oh, no. Get the timer ready. All right, here we go. I'll get through it, and then here we go. This one's called Bipolar Malleability. Cycling through moods, another mild mania elapses with the sure promise of a turn. Hedging bets on troubled sleep, elective self-medications, booze or something illicit, or maybe another stint at the charity psych ward. Thoughts hardly bedded down, these sleepless feral children and their mercurial emotions, jabbering nonstop nonsense, immune to lullabies, defiant toward reason. Pragmatism folded until it resembles Chinese lanterns lit and released skyward or evaporated into ashes. Glimpses fleeting as small birds, attention span whittled down into sharpened thorns, prickly non sequiturs, tangents left dangling from a forgotten premise, participles intentionally strewn throughout flagrant sentences just to irk the pedantic. Fatigued to the point, persona opens and pours itself into another vessel, proof rock. Poor Prince Hamlet, some beleaguered homeless man seen at a bus terminal, whomever, reassurances at the mistaken appearance that it's no longer oneself short of suicide. Become preoccupied by bare rooms, the aesthetics of dramatic spaces, delivering cryptic soliloquies to silhouette-wed walls. A monk cloistered in auto-plagiarized lines from youthful drafts, still plump with nectar, a naive willingness acted out unaccompanied for the cathartic balm of starless black ink spilled from a phallic replacement, prematurely spent, limp, the quiet descent into divorcee middle age. Emptied eyes, the vacant gaze, deep in lonesome AM hours, listening intently to household appliances, lulled by steady oscillations, quelling useless recollections, the quizzical uncertainty expressed at their inanimate replies, translated badly from a language known only to the disheveled ill. And there it is, fellers.
Solid, solid piece, Philip.
And Philip, it wasn't as long as you think it was.
Yeah.
Oh, did you time me?
Yeah.
I was guessing. Really? Oh.
Okay, so to clue you in and everybody else who listens, I have been timing everybody for the past 3 years.
And he has records. He has records of how long your call was 3 years ago.
And charts.
And he has charts.
It's insane. Yeah. So I have everybody timed as best as I can.
We actually look at charts and things when we're figuring out policies and stuff. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, you can tell me later if you want. Or
no,
I'm just curious.
You're fine. You're less than 3 minutes.
All right. Well,
perfect.
Wonderful. You're a statistics guy. I'm going to have to go to a sports game with you sometime. Just to...
That's him. That is him.
I bet.
For sure.
Yeah. I can feel that.
Philip, and we can yell, "Yay, sports ball!" And just.
Well, you see.
All right. Wonderful. So great to be
right,
here.
Hey, thank
and
you,
cheers to you both.
Cheers, Philip. I have to understand. You know, for me, I'm a huge sports fan.
Yes.
I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
And like Kobe Bryant. When he hits those home runs, he's amazing.
Killing me.
Okay.
It hurts already. It would amaze me, too, every home run that he would hit.
Well, you know, to quote Dumbledore, run, you fools. Let's go now to Jim in Pennsylvania.
It would amaze me.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
How are you?
Better than last week. Not quite as depressed. Not quite as bored.
Good.
Good.
We need to do that. Weather. Well, you know, it's I found this when I'm sitting at home and I don't have anything to do. I go a little mental. I need to have things to do.
Well, been back to work, but been dealing with the rain.
Yeah.
And it's wreaking havoc on the house.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Emergency repair time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had a decent rounds of hail out here this week, too.
Well, we have a flat roof on the back. It's been leaking. Goes through the room underneath it and now into the kitchen.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. But on the positive side, I hold the contract in my hand. I have yet to sign it, though.
Okay. Very cool.
I'll be going out Sunday.
What are you going to do right before you sign the contract?
Get my camera ready to get my phone ready to film it.
Okay. Now, what if you're filming yourself and you accidentally, because you're doing two things at once, sign the wrong name?
Well, I'll just tell them that that is personality 4,962.
They'll be like, we deal with writers all the time. Totally understood.
Dilly dilly.
Precisely. Okay. All right. So what do you have for us?
Well, it's one that I'm going to do for Hebrew Bedtime Stories when I finally finish it. It may very well be my second book.
Very cool.
The Penalty of Fidelity. He paid the penalty for his fidelity, the garment in her hand, as he wisely turned and ran. For who would believe the word of a slave over that of his master's wife? End of poem.
That was an interesting turn of phrase. What did you think about that, JT?
I enjoy it. It's just the way he delivers
it. The penalty for fidelity. I feel like I could turn that into a T-shirt series, and it would probably sell quite a bit.
Probably.
I liked it, Jim. Good work.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll see you during the return engagement, right?
Yeah. Since Ellie's listening.
Yes.
Since she's in Warren, Pennsylvania, near Philly.
Yes.
Now, I'm in Palmyra, which is just east of Hershey, maybe about 5 minutes' drive.
Okay.
So now I know where she is, and now she knows where I am.
All right.
Awesome.
Just look to the east until you see a gigantic Hershey's Kiss, and you'll know that he's just a few minutes away.
Be careful with the sinkholes.
Yeah. Amen.
We got issues out of here, too. Okay. All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right.
And that was James calling from Pennsylvania. Speaking of sinkholes, did you see what happened just over here?
Yes.
So was a woman in an SUV.
Yes.
It started going. She somehow got out of the SUV before it went in.
Yeah, it was starting to go, and she climbed out quickly.
But it went all the way in.
Yep.
And then it's the exact same place not long ago that a police cruiser went into a sinkhole.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was.
Remind me never to drive on that road again.
I drive on it all the time. They were less than 20 feet from each other, the sinkholes locations. I drive by it all the time.
I know you do.
Oh, so sad.
So I remember sitting there at one point when I worked at the aquarium, sitting there across the street from the aquarium, getting drunk with the head of maintenance and life support. Though I have a thing. I don't drink much.
Yeah.
But when I do, it's always with people in powerful positions because I want to hear stuff. I want to know.
That's good.
And when they both had several beers, one of them looked at me. He's like, by the way, in the middle of the night, if you ever feel the building start shaking, run out of the front doors and turn right and run down the street. And they explained to me they were losing, and they actually have fixed this since then, which is
good.
I can say this.
Okay.
But they had been losing 20,000 gallons of salt water every day, and they didn't know where it was going. And they tested the river right next, and there was nothing in the river. they didn't know where it was going. And so they're like, there could be a gigantic saltwater sinkhole right beneath the... They got it figured out. It actually wasn't the case. But at least that's the official story. Okay, anyway. All right, so we're going to go into our second segment. We need five more callers.
Yeah.
720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here in the second segment. We've got five more wonderful poets lined up. Now, JT, let me ask, did we have more callers and we could take this segment?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to want to do, we'll do another one.
Yep.
So what that means, we need to kind of keep these things moving quickly. So we'll, so I'm going to cut back on some of the banter stuff. Not that I don't want to hear, and I will be in kind of contact, but we will talk a little bit, but we'll kind of keep it at a clip. Once again, rules, just to recap it, no hate speech. Two, try to keep it PG-13 language if you can. Number three, have the poem ready. Number four, within 3 to 5 minutes. Number five, any questions, any comments, anything like that, awesome. Just send them to us in a message or send it to it privately, and we'll be good from there. All right, so we don't have a submission for this segment, so we're going to go straight to Barbara in Connecticut. Good evening, Barbara. How are you?
Hi. Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm good.
Very good.
I'm good. It's good. Everything's good. I was just watching a movie on TV with my daughter before, so.
Well, awesome.
That's why I was late. I was late to the chat room, so I missed 1 second. I heard everything, including Nemrata's beautiful poem. And just really happy. It's Friday night. I put the thing up again so everyone would know.
Thank you for that.
And I'm going to read something that, well, I'll just say one thing about it. A couple of days ago, I think it was July 22nd, there were terrible fires in Athens and around Athens and the suburbs. And I got the word, it was kind of like late at night, and I saw the photos and thought about it. And then, unusual for me, I wrote this poem. So here goes. Modern ruins. Into the ancient ruins came the smell of smoke rising from the lush greenery around these treasure. Can I start all over again? I'm sorry. Modern ruins. Into the ancient ruins came the smell of smoke rising from the lush greenery around these treasured structures and holding people hostage by the flames licking around homes, forcing some to flee to the sea for respite as backs burned by the licking of the tongues of fire have the comfort of water to soothe them as they watch in neighboring resort towns as their livelihood goes up in smoke and a pleasant vacation in the golden sunshine of a summer's day becomes a lesson in despair. And I weep for the ones who didn't escape and now lay in the dirt of mixed ages and occupations, for fire doesn't care what or who you are. It smites any who dare to venture into its den and brands all who tangle with it. Those who are not so lucky to escape its wrath become today's ruins and are mourned, for they are interrupted in their life and cannot go back and finish their story. The stories of these now corpses will no longer be finished, for they are now in permanent hold, and all who have touched their lives before are left to pick up the pieces of what remains. End poem.
There's some real poignant and important points in there, I think.
Well, thank you. And I don't usually write right away after an event happens, but this just got me. This really got me. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone early so that everyone else can have a chance.
All right. Well, thank you, and talk to you, Barbara.
In the return. Okay.
Talk to you then. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara from Connecticut leading us off here in the second segment. All right. Here we go. As soon as you're ready, my friend. No pressure. No, we're going to go now to George in Michigan. Good evening, George.
Well, good evening, Michael.
How are you?
How are you?
We're doing great.
Well, I'm just fine. That's good. I knew that. I already knew that. Why do I ask how you are?
It's okay.
You know, it changes from moment to moment, George.
I've had those bipolar days, too. That's it. It's just like, you know, if your team wins, everything, including your friends, are handsome, you know.
Oh, you know, isn't that true? Actually,
things are good.
Yeah. Well, I'm the kind of guy, though, you know, when the few years ago, when the Broncos went to the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks and just lost, I mean, we're just like the biggest losers of the, you know. And I had watched it at home, and then I had to go into my job, and there's all these guys I knew who just, their moods rose and fell based on the, you know, whatever the Broncos were doing. So I couldn't help myself. I walked in, I stood next to him like, so guys, I didn't catch the game. How badly we beat them. Just watching the anger, you know, was making me laugh.
Yeah. I imagine Titus had some of those same things. Just recently when the England team didn't quite... They did very well, but they didn't quite do it.
They were so close.
In the World Cup. They were so close. I was cheering like mad.
I know. I know, me too.
Yeah, well, this piece I have is it's a prose thing. I don't know. And it's sort of a social comment thing that it's called Sitting Near a Fountain. I was sitting near a fountain inside a shopping center waiting for Rita to complete her thorough examination of another bath soap store or candle shop. Another couple, probably in their 50s, sat next to me. The husband, a slender fellow, kept reaching for the cigarettes in his shirt pocket, and then remembering that smoking was criminal these days in shopping malls. By the way, this is in 2006 I wrote this. His very wide wife sat next to him. She had a T-shirt on that declared they had been to the Hard Rock Cafe, Key West. She leaned around in to greet me. Busy place. Yes, it is, yes. We come here when Penny's has their green sale. Can get shirts for the kids for 3 for $10. She leaned back. The husband stared straight ahead and only nodded. His cap said Dodge Trucks. She leaned out. Have you seen them shirts at Penny's? No, but it sounds good. When were you in Key West? Since I remember a fun week there and have indeed walked by the Hard Rock Cafe there with little interest in going in. I thought you might talk about Key West. Oh, no, got this at a garage sale, 50 cents. Folks we know told us there's lots of gays in Key West. Well, I think there are, but we spent a week there and a great time. It's full of historical places and great food and great views. Did you see any gays? Well, yes, especially along the main tourist street, Duval Street. I would guess that most of the restaurants and shops there are run by gay people, but God, there are so many things to see there, like Hemingway's house and the Audubon house and the Who house? Audubon, he painted and researched. The bird guy, it was the first murmur from the husband, who still stares straight ahead. For bird watchers, Peg. Well, I'm so sorry, shit, pouted Peg. How the hell do I know about bird watchers, Ron? So it was Ron and Peg. It had taken a little spat to get the names. I decided to change the subject. I have a Hard Rock T-shirt from Toronto, I think. Oh, we love Canada, emphasized Peg. It's such a free country and it's so pretty. What parts of Canada have you visited? Toronto. We saw cats in Toronto, didn't we, Ron? About 3 years ago. Got free tickets, too. Jesus, Peg. It was 11 years ago, asserted Ron, still looking ahead. Have you been to other parts of Canada? Just Toronto, said Peg. We love cats. you loved cats, clarified Ron. Yes, I loved cats, said Peg as she stared straight ahead. And you promised to take me back there again, Ron. She looked straight ahead as if wistfully. Ron stared straight ahead. I was saved by Rita, who grinned her way up to us, knowing full well that the scene she had endured by being married to me, to friendly me for 32 years, and knowing she would hear some of this very undramatic story on the ride home. End of poem.
I think I've heard several conversations like that. I think it was great.
Yes. Haven't we all?
Haven't we all? I think I've participated in some of those conversations, actually.
Well, yeah, I was the pig. Who knows? Anyway, I hope not. At least it could be the Ron.
Well, it's always easy to blame someone else. I remember hearing a joke once about a couple that went over to visit another couple that were, you know, they were old friends, and the husband at the house goes, honey, what are we having for dinner? And then there was no response comes, and he points, kind of sarcastically smirks and gets closer. What are we having for dinner? Still nothing, and he kind of smirks and goes closer and screams, what are we having for dinner? And his wife goes, for the third damn time, it's chicken. I loved it, George. Thanks so much.
Well, I'll probably hang on for the return engagement. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, and that was George calling from Michigan. Also, another great poet con from Michigan. Amazing stuff. All right. Now, there's very few people who I would say that I would want to hear announcing the apocalypse, preferably for the government, and fewer people still who would probably take it as a compliment it is meant to be. But this gentleman does both. Let's go now to Stan in Alabama. Hello, Stan.
Hey, my boy, JT. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing well.
We're doing fantastic. Happy to hear your voice.
Oh, my pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Did you have a good week?
Yes, I did.
Fantastic.
That's two in a row.
Two in a row? What's going on here?
I have no idea.
Don't jinx it.
Not a chance.
All right. So what do you have for us?
Well, what I'm doing today, or tonight I should say, is a cover. It's a very interesting piece. It's from a Mr. Ron Whitehead, who happens to be the original outlaw poet in our outlaw poetry group.
All right.
What the title was in the poetry group was, The School of Hard Knocks is the Best School of All, 14 Suggestions for Aspiring Poets and Writers, a Work in Progress. That's a hell of a title.
I think so.
All right, well, here we go. Number one, join a writing group, outgrow it as soon as possible. Number two, dig deep into your childhood. Write the best and the worst memories. Embrace your past. Be an autodidact. Teach yourself. The School of Hard Knocks is the best school of all. Learn everything you can about any and everything you're interested in. Learn things you don't even want to learn, things that are uninteresting but are related to your poem, your story. Read everything you can get your hands on. Three, take classes, classes, classes on literature, poetry, prose, and on writing. Four, master grammar and scansion, the terrible mechanics of prose and poetry. Four, five, be a master skeptic. Doubt yourself and everyone else. Six, be a master believer. Believe in yourself and nearly everybody else. Seven, submit your work to every publication under the sun and moon. Eight, you're gonna get rejected a million times. Get used to it, suck it up, develop your willpower, quit whining, be strong. Nine, gather your poems and stories into book manuscripts and send them to publishers and when you're rejected, publish your own work. 10, read your work out loud in private, in public, at open mics. Read your work out loud to dogs, cats, birds, people, to anyone and everyone. 11, entertainment is central. Captivate your audience. Do you want to be bored by someone reading their poem, their story? Put all your energy you have into your reading. Sing your work. Even if you can't carry a tune, sing your work out loud. Listen to the rhythm. Get rhythm. Build music into your poem, your story. Poems and stories are dancing songs. 12. Listen. Listening is the greatest art of all. By listening to others and to yourself as you read your work out loud, you will become a better writer, a better editor. 13. On the darkest, stormiest night of the year, take everything you've learned and get in a car and drive as fast as you can along the coastline with a deep cliff falling down to the pounding ocean and throw everything you've learned out the window while screaming as loud as you can, farewell, goodbye, then go your own way and start anew. Be your own original voice. And number 14, never give up. End piece, and that is from Mr. Ron Whitehead.
Man.
I liked that.
First of all, it's a cool, cool piece. Second of all, Stan, I don't know if it's you're just born to read everything you read or that you just make it your own and it just sounds fantastic. I could see an entire like video tutorial going on beneath your voiceover of that just then.
Yep.
It was just so good.
Oh, I was so pleased when I got hold of this guy and I asked him straight up, because this was one of the pieces that was actually in the anthology of We're in Cahoots from the Outlaw Poets.
Oh, okay.
And I asked him if it would be all right if I read some of his pieces. And he sat there and said, by all means, read anything you want. And he even thanked me for even asking him.
But,
and I was honored to read it, because this guy... This is the thing. That particular anthology, I think I probably mentioned this before, was the one that Philip Kent Church went out of his way to document, posting, and mailing to Donald Trump in D.C. Seriously. Now, he got one of those nice little office form certificates back with the rubber stamp signatures thanking him very much for the gift.
Of course.
And Philip figures he made the mistake of mailing the thing around Christmas. Where they thought it was a Christmas gift.
Oh.
But I know damn well the man never opened the cover on that book. Number one, if he just read Philip's foreword, I think that much truth going into that void would have collapsed his skull. Let alone get anywhere near Ron Whitehead, who was the first poet up the bat.
Oh, my gosh.
Wonderful.
But still, it's the thought that counts, isn't it?
It is the thought. And, Stan, that's hilarious. And that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us.
My pleasure, and on to the next gentleman. All right. See you at the return engagement.
See you there. Thank you. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama. Doing some great, great reading there. It was amazing. Now, who am I seeing? Is this a new caller?
Looks like it.
We think so. It's been long enough that sometimes we kind of, you know, yep. It's hard to remember every caller. Let's go to B in South Carolina. Hello, B. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. Well, you're on the air. Now, have you called the show before?
I've called this place under a different name, actually.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
I try to keep it spicy.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. I keep track, so I'm like, oh, this is cool.
We're just never sure, so we figured we would ask.
Yeah.
I actually, my first time, I invited people that I know to listen to us, so it's
Very nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm reading text messages about, oh, my goodness, what is this?
Good.
That's great.
I love this. This is my favorite.
Well, this is, we're so happy that you're joining us. And hello, everyone who's listening to hear her. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step back. We're going to give you the stage. And then when you're done, just say end poem and we'll come back on and we'll talk for a minute, okay?
Okay.
All right. Stage is yours.
This poem is titled, I Shouldn't Be Afraid. I know I shouldn't be afraid of people. I'm an extrovert. I should love people, but sometimes I sit by myself because I worry my words will be wrong. I know I shouldn't be terrified of the dark, because that is something you're supposed to get over when you're little. But back then, the darkness held boogeymen, vampires, and the monsters from movies my mother told me not to watch. But now darkness is what happens when all the lights are out in my house, and all that is left is my mind, my bed, and all the art on the wall. That is where the new demons hide. I know I shouldn't be terrified of social media. I'm a teenager. It should be my personal legal drug of choice. But that's not the case when you overthink every little thing. Like, what if they don't like this? If it doesn't get 15 likes in 30 minutes, it needs to be taken down. What if they see my stomach in this one and shout at the ugliness of it? Or if someone looks at my post from 10 years and they don't want to see me anymore, will I post something that'll be punished in 5 years' time? I shouldn't be terrified of school. It's not the grade tests. It's the fact that when we leave the classroom, when we can't leave the classroom, it's either for a test run, drugs, or someone's in the school. The first two don't faze me, but the idea that I might be joking with a peer while one of my friends is in a pool of their own blood haunts me. The idea that I may not come back to my mom in my little green car, but in a body bag. The fact I might not be able to grow up and live away and see the ocean again and find myself under dirt. And I know I shouldn't be terrified of you. The smiles behind screens. I imagine some of you as people outside in rocking chairs, listening, always the first to call. I imagine others busy rushing to listen just to hear the thoughts of people they might never meet in person. All you can wish for is finding people that accept your words and accepting other people's in return. End of poem.
That was a wonderful piece.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That was great. So when did you write that? Was that a recent piece?
I've been listening to you guys for about a year, and I came in about 6 months under a different name.
Yep. Okay.
And I try to get myself back in the rhythm. And I write poetry when I'm on boats a lot, so summer's perfect for that. And I just got off of a camping trip with lots of boats and lots of times to write.
Fantastic. And you know what? We really enjoy your work, and it's funny enough. I mentioned to JT. It's strange, but we actually can start vaguely recognizing like phone numbers and stuff. Not even the names. We're like, I've seen that number before.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like that kind of stuff. And
the last name I went under was Bella. So indication.
That makes total sense. But I got to say, this was a great piece. And we look forward to any time you decide to call us. We love having you.
I love that as well.
Awesome. Well, keep writing, okay? Get on some more boats. All right. Thank you. And will you call us again during the return engagement? We have like one more short segment after this, and then we'll be doing that, if you're up.
I might.
All right. Okay. See how you feel, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
You too.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. And that was B calling from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right,
now. Glad you called back.
I am too. Really liked your work. And I know sometimes there's gaps, you know, when people are writing.
It happens all the time.
I get it. I totally get it. All right, now we're going to head to the magical place called Cleveland, Ohio. to speak to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh man, I'm having it. I'm catching it.
Oh yeah.
You know, the life of a poet that speaks the truth is not really understood or appreciated by people that are against the truth. So I've been having a hard time. I got kicked off of Twitter.
You got kicked off Twitter?
Yes.
There are world leaders who say horrible stuff on Twitter and don't get kicked off. What's going on?
Well, one guy, he said here on YouTube, he says, Vicky Aqua, I'm really glad I'm a Trump supporter. It must be very disheartening to you. Every time one of these scandals or conspiracy theories comes out, you get all pumped up. And it never sticks. Dems really need to focus on real issues and getting a real leader. The economic figures come out this Friday, and it's going to be a really, really, really good, and his approval ratings are going to go up despite the desperate attempts by all the media channels except one. Your leadership should have let Bernie have a shot, but they screwed him. And so I said, well, dear sir, I'm glad you're a DP supporter, but thanks for paying close attention to my replies every time. By the way, who is he referring to when he says, unless he gets hit by a truck on that tape, on that video, I mean, on that tape they have on him?
Yeah.
Then the guy said, Vicky, I don't know, sorry. I said, listen very closely to the interrupted, to the enhanced version. When he says, unless he gets hit by a truck, then Cohen, the lawyer, covers him up by saying, I'm all over that. And then it just goes on and on and on. And so finally he says, dear Vicky, it's nice to be chatting like adults, which is very unusual on here. I'm just going to get some work done. Have a good day. I said, oh, so you did finally hear it, huh? Still, I heard it differently, he said. Yeah. Listen to the enhancer, I said, and then it went on and on. But then I got kicked off of Twitter because the same thing I put on here, which was I didn't read what I put on here because I don't want your show to go rogue and get. Well,
thank you.
But anyway, so Twitter sends me a thing saying you got 91 messages. I said, well, okay, so I'll go over there and try to see what the messages were, because I don't even really do Twitter, even though I signed up for it. Then when I tried to get on, they said, we can't find your account. Would you make a new one? So I made a new one. As soon as I made the new one, I said, oh, Twitter must be looking for me because they want to hear what I'm saying. You know, he must have seen what I'm saying because I think he owns Twitter now.
You know, I wonder anyway, if they're sending it right behind you right now.
I get about 100... US.gov hang up harassment phone calls after all of this, and so I'm just about crazy.
I'd lay low a little bit. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. I'm going to let you read some poetry, okay?
Okay. And I had to apologize last week for that joke I hurt your feelings with when I called you shipwreck. I'm so sorry.
Oh no, nothing. I feel like a shipwreck all the damn time, Mom. That's no big deal.
I like to apologize.
No. There was no offense to anything taken.
Okay, one more thing I want to say that I have introduced you to a poet that you are. I don't think you ever got in touch with him. His name was Demetrios. I told you he's a Greek professor, and he is the one that he's a poet. They're very close friends, and he's the one that told me about the fires, and I just posted it all over everything. So I just hope you all contact him, say something nice, and let him know that we're still waiting for him to come on the show. Michael, if you could do that.
I'll send him a message.
Okay. And JT, yeah. He's very, very spoiled. So, you know, he sends out flowers every day to all over the world to people, and he grows them on his rooftop. And he's also a retired professor and a poet, and he's a really good poet. So I just wanted you all to befriend him and send him some cheer. And thank you so much, Bob, for reading, for writing and reading the poem concerning him. I know I took up a lot of time, so I'm going to just go ahead and read one of these poems I got here. I don't know which one you want to hear. I pulled up three. So I'll probably just read the one I can find now, because I've been playing on here so long now. I don't know if I can find it. Michael, no, that's not it. I'm sorry, I never do this, but I have so much stuff this year. I didn't mean to close out my poem that I already had pulled up. So if you want to come back to me, you can.
You're the
caller number five.
Do you want to? How about this? Do you want to do it and be? Do you want to be one of the callers in the third segment?
If you let me do two or third segment, yeah. But
we're going to do a third segment anyway. You're the last one in this one, so that would just mean that we're taking the other calls, and then you know you can be ready, and then you'll have that time, and we'll still do the return engagement after that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's do that. All right, Mama.
We'll talk to you in a bit.
All right.
Hang on.
So that is Mama Ola Deji in Cleveland, Ohio. We will be moving her to the third segment, and I think that actually makes sense. That way we're not just waiting on it. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to open the lines up for people who have not called in yet who want to share. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic, third segment. Let's do this. And we're back here in the third segment. We've got some great poets lined up here. We had an issue. JT, do you want to take this live right now to see if you can get it? We had an issue getting our last poet here in the lineup. Let's see if we can get him.
Hey, Eric?
Yes. Hello, JT. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
My phone was tripping hardcore. I called like three or four times.
Oh, yeah. We heard you. We heard you, man.
Dialing out. I couldn't hear you guys, so...
All right, so Eric, we've got you here. We just answered. We have you as caller number four. You're actually on the air because we took you after we came on, which is kind of us going against the rules. So we're just going to put you on hold, okay? Hang out.
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, buddy. And that was Eric. Man, we were just trying to get him. So many calls.
Sorry.
All right, so we got it now. Now we're here in the third segment. We've got Mama Ola Deji, we got Mary, we got Tamara, and we got Eric lined up. So this is going to be really cool. Before we get into it, I was looking through the chat room here, and I saw something that was interesting because it connected with something that JT and I had been talking about.
For a couple of years now.
A couple of years. We discussed it in the past, but you know, we always want to make sure that we're 100% committed to an idea. We have various things we're trying out, different ideas, and we really want to find the right one just to go all in on. I saw someone mention a Poetrypedia idea for all the work done here, and it just kind of jogged this idea that we had kind of had. Going through and looking at a lot of the poetry sites, you know, where poets can kind of converge and, you know, like All Poetry and things like that, you know, they seem cool, but there seem like there's kind of like pros and cons to each one, right? Like some are good for this, some aren't that great with the design, some are, you know, there's all kinds of strange things. We had been really talking about for a while the idea of putting together an actual site, kind of like an All Poetry site where you'd have your own profile, your own everything, but just really design it with a focus group of poets to make it the absolute best, most poetry-centric thing. And I'm just floating this to the audience here. Is that something you guys are into at all? And if so, just put yes or put no or whatever, and we'll definitely, you know, try to investigate it here. But we think it could be something really special, and then of course we attach to the show and keep doing the show and keep going from there.
Absolutely.
All right. So thank you for everybody for considering that idea. I know we throw things out like this every now and then. Let's go back to Mama Ola Deji in Cleveland, Ohio.
We attach to the show
to kick this back
show,
up. Hey, Mama.
All right. So thank you for everybody for considering that idea.
Hey. So did you end up finding it?
Yeah, I found it.
All right. Perfect.
The one I want to read is called Fly Right, and it's about a man that takes his sophisticated girlfriend wife out on the town, and she gets drunk, and that's the first time he ever seen her. So the name of it is called Fly Right, he said. Straighten up. Fly right, my canvas queen. You are not a butterfly that flickers and flouts all about. fleshy muse. I can't use you as your drunken monkey has arisen bickering about as you shout, consumed of stout, wanting to capture your divine essence while you are full of spirit and quite sprite. I need you to sober up and fly right. This night, distorted by gin, the features of your chin, at last you appear crass. Need only a little smile. Come again tomorrow without that hyena countenance of your sass. You pose bass backwards. Picture how silly you laugh. Young and beautiful, without the jaded eyes and sorrow brow. Sit pretty for me, he asks. Befittingly, in your rank, return to your class. In peace.
I really enjoyed that piece, Mama. I really did.
I can just see her embarrassing him all over the place. Mm-hmm.
That was worth the wait. That was worth the wait. I appreciate the words and the delivery and everything there.
Thank you.
You got it. You got it. Mama, we love you, and thanks so much for everything you do for us, and thanks for bringing it to us.
I will, and I'll be back. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you. Talk to you then.
All right. And that was Mama Ola Deji Colin from Cleveland, Ohio, leading us off here in the third segment. Mary, it is your turn to give us a call. Because Mary, believe it or not, is next.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun.
Okay, what do you think? That'll work, yeah.
I remember I found someone once. You know, some people have really strange talents. And I don't mean like party talents. I mean just like things that they have an aptitude for that are weird. Let's bring Mary on, though.
Okay.
We'll talk about this later. Hey, Mary, how's it going?
No, you guys are too cute. No, I can't even stand it anymore. I can't.
Do you like the hold music we had?
Sometimes.
Well, at least you're honest.
No, well, I have to be honest.
That's right.
Oh, we've been trying to figure out how to get actual woman. Hold music.
I am old Father William, and then I won't go on from there.
All right.
But I knew all those poems, like Shel Silverstein did. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How are you children here today?
Well, you know, I can walk again, so I'm good. JT seems happy.
And it's good to walk and do Al Yankovic, too?
Well, you know, JT's got a bit of a riff going. He's actually been setting you guys up for weeks.
Yeah.
He's actually
a lift in our walk. Yeah.
Well, JT, do you want to just quickly say what you did?
I don't think I want to.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you want
to
say?
Yeah, no. It's like I'm kind of keeping it a hold.
All right,
but
okay.
If you guys pay attention, you'll get it.
Yeah,
he has
themes almost every week of for the music. Mm. So this just happens to be a very obvious one this week. So
yeah, I don't know whose waves those go on. So I just listen.
That's
just
JT's.
Listen like I'm on a
That's
river.
JT. All JT.
Oh, JT. Oh, there we go. How old are you, sir?
39.
See, and you're not much older, Michael, are you?
I'm 37.
Oh, see, less than 40.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowledgeable, too. All right. I'm going to smile. I'm going to smile and poke my finger in my dimple, and then I'm going to sing my song, which isn't a song. I'm reading a poem tonight.
Perfect.
No, a scribble. Mm-hmm. I'm in the North Country. In fact, I'm so far north that if you saw the North Star, I might be even north of that. I'm north of Superior, y'all. I'm in Lake Nabagabum. And don't make me say it again.
No problem.
My friend Ellen brought me here to her cabin, and that's where I am in Wisconsin. And I'm going to read this poem now. Meandering north through denounce and dissent. Newly laid out ideas of acceptance. Quitting without giving up. Tired of the constantly flippant motions. Carried out through dusk and even almost after the sun goes down. turning away now from all the noise, as Daniel did when he accepted his fate. And the knowledge still sits here, like flowing through rock forms, putting all the efforts yet achievable, though the game is already lost by design. Still, the preparations for the lion's entrance I made, and endurance becomes the short-term end game, lasting just long enough to outlast the opponent presented in the executive-like orders. Accepted fate in the bloodthirsty den, though my fingers keep moving and twingling, even yet as if by memory they continue to play, even as the story's ending is already clearly known to some. That's it.
Mary, I really enjoyed that.
I thank you. I thank you always, and I thank you now, too.
Well, enjoy the time in the north. You know, I mean, I know it's...
I'm trying to. It's so damn cold. See, I came here in July thinking it was maybe the only time I could still endure it, and they gave me rain. They almost gave me snow, and they gave me... I lighted a fire in my friends. I lighted a big fire, and I sat right beside it, and now today the sun came out. I went kayaking. I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
All right, you're doing your best. You're doing your best.
89-year-old body, 89. I'm 89 now. No, not really.
I was going to say.
No, you're like, no, you're not. Okay.
No, I am. Don't look at me too close, but I swear I am. All right.
Thank
you,
Mary.
To the return engagement, I love you guys, you know. From the north, Mary. Bye.
Bye. And that was Mary calling from the Great White North. All right. Strangely enough, all the time we've had Canadians call, I've never made a terrible Mackenzie Brothers joke before.
Tamara, it's your turn to call.
All right. Tamara from Indiana, call us.
Hey, look at that.
Boom, she's on it.
She is on it.
All right, and welcome Tamara from Indiana to the show. Hello, Tamara. How are you?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm recovering from a cold, so my voice sounds funny to me. I apologize.
That's, you know, it sounds great to us, but I can understand what it's like after a cold.
Yeah, maybe it's my ears, right? Maybe it's not the voice. It's the
it's totally your ears.
It's not what you say; it's how they hear it.
Hey, it's don't believe what you see or what you hear. It's all fake.
You know, I read that on the internet, so it must be true.
It's got to be true. Doesn't Thomas Jefferson say that right before he was the first man to walk on the moon?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right, Tamara.
He tweeted about it.
He did. All right, I'm going to let you take the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. Okay. Sometimes I lose words. I'm greedy with them, undoubtedly. Collecting all the most scrumptious ones I find and toting them along with me wherever I go. One just never knows when such a delicacy might be required. I try to carefully place each one in its own setting with the care of a royal jeweler fitting gemstones. And likewise, my supply must be both rare and abundant. The baskets in which I carry them frequently overflow. So I lose a few as I bump along my way. The majority travel snugly, nestled together, the nooks of idyllic terms filling the cozy crannies of favorite phrases. There they wait, softly tangled, packed away until it's time to assist in my endeavor. Usually they're patient as we journey our path, content to enjoy the ride, with only occasional little imps of excitement peeking out, eager for their destiny to come into view. The densest sink straight to the bottom, unmoving, demanding me to dig with determination in order to extract them and employ their weightiness. But then there are these wisps of words, puffs really, that float along on the top with the scent of delicate petals and the loft of the slightest feather. These capricious terms flutter close to me. They are plentiful, to be sure, but They are singular in their meaning. And just one of these, when lost, can send me chasing it with no other thought than, I must have you back again. I've been known to toss the rest of my bundle of words aside in the quest, discarding every last bit of my beautiful vocabulary with near disdain. I must have that word. It was here just a minute ago. I know the feel of that word. It was mine. It is just what I needed. My companions, my kind and helpful companions, they will join the hunt as well, at least initially. Friends and family see me distraught, each with their own bags and boxes and books filled with words as well. They want to offer their assistance. Surely one of these will work, they insist. How about this one? This one's lovely. I've been saving this one for something special, but here, take it. I want you to have it. No, no other word will do. They see the burning desperation in me, and so they try to douse the fiery need, but none of their efforts are adequate. Only one word will satisfy me. There's no assistance anyone can offer me. They fall away. I am on my own. They recognize a lunatic who can only be cured by capturing the phrase that taunts the mind. I am a mad poet, searching for a word that plays with me like mist in the moonlight. It is a fool's errand to try to accompany me or offer comfort. I am already gone. I will emerge triumphant, or I will be reborn as some schoolhouse legend, a frightening character abandoned by time and language, muttering disagreeably with myself. I know it's a risk. I know that it is a treacherous venture with no guarantee of victory. True, my word, that word, might be around the very next corner, perched on a bench near the fountain, just waiting for me to come upon it. It's happened before, but it is just as likely to be pressed firmly to the bottom of a mangled queen in a game of three-card Monty, leaving me the mark in an unwinnable street hustle. Gamblers who can't beat the odds rarely return to their life before. I wagered it all and walked away empty-handed. See the ragged soul in the alley digging through the trash can? I search still for the word I lost and find only my own dismal end. Go ahead and cry for me. Rest flowers on my grave as a memorial of tragedy. Whisper a prayer and my name and mourn the beautiful life that could have been. Just know it's not enough. If there be any mercy remaining in the universe, any hope for this soul's eternal peace, make my headstone the thickest dictionary so I may no longer be haunted by a lost word. End poem.
That was beautifully done. I really, really liked that. And your voice sounded wonderful, Tamara. Was it a true story?
It's a true story.
No kidding. How cool is that? Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Tamara, thanks so much. And thank you for the idea of the Poetrypedia thing. It's interesting that that came up. That's why we decided to ask, was because you said something.
So I host websites, and Poetrypedia.com is taken. Did you register it? But Poetrypedia.org is available.
Well,
in case you need to know that.
We may look into that. However, we may keep the world poetry kind of theme going.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I like
so
that.
So we'll have to look at it, but maybe we'll talk. I don't think we're friends on Facebook here, but we'll get, actually, when you get a chance, send us an email at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and then that way we can establish contact.
Cool beans. All right.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you. And that was Tamara calling from Indiana. Goodbye. And you all right?
Yeah, no, it just threw me off there for just a
moment. Just I reversed that there? Yeah, no kidding. All right, so now we're going to be heading to the big man in the big state of Texas. Ready, JT? The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. Hey, what's up, Eric?
What's up? How's it going?
Going well, man. How are you?
Another day.
Another day. All right, perfect, perfect. Well, hey, man, I know you called a bunch. I know you've been waiting. I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All righty. All right, this is actually I bought Philip Matthew Roberts' book, Lost and Found.
No, I'm reading one of his poems tonight. And it's called Talk That Goes On Behind the Eyes When the Eye Wanders Anonymous. Each day, the old struggle ensues, evaluating life with existential insight. Sometimes bitter, these lachrymose rivulets winding down one's contours, faces made in the image of countries unmapped, emotions untamed as native wildernesses where love is rediscovered tirelessly, arguing purpose, though the universe remains impassively indifferent. Unsatisfied, the mind evaluates reward, pleasures, questioned, pain, suckered, and universal significance, scattered into permutations, aloft in dandelion intellects, blown with childlike wishes, distill beauty until insight ferments, imbibed as eyes, the dawn rosy firmament. Art is neither sacred nor profane, but experience, monologues rehearsed in studio silence, dedicated as Hamlet when revising his impassioned soliloquies. Queer how the human condition perpetrates its own mimicry. That's the end piece. And that's by Philip Matthews Roberts.
He's one of our favorites, man, and it was cool that you chose that and a good read.
Thank you so much.
You gotta watch that, yeah, Philip, man. He's a crafty soul. He will lead you down strange paths. No. Before long, your titles will be longer than the. No, I'm just kidding. Philip, we love you. You know we do. Oh man, Eric, thanks so much, buddy. Are you gonna be calling during the return engagement?
Yes, I am. My phone was tripping out. I don't know. I called at least 5 times to get into this.
I think
segment.
We answered all 5 times too. we saw it
and we're like,
we were trying.
This is not going through.
Yeah. So
yeah, my phone. I couldn't even hear you. So really? I don't know what was going on.
Well, yeah. Hey, man. I think it'll be a little bit better this time. It'll be better. All right, buddy.
I'll be calling again later.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Eric Collin from Texas. That rounds out our third segment. All right. So I think we're going to have a pretty epic return engagement here, JT.
We might.
Let's see what happens, huh?
That's right.
Let's just
hopefully I've got enough songs in the queue. Hang on. Let me just plug in one more.
Plug one more song
in case.
That way you don't want me singing things. You know, be by myself, be like,
that'd be a
nothing compares to you.
That's a good song. I don't mind it at all.
But you would have to, you know, sing, and that's a... All right, let's head into the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call again, anybody who wants to call for the first time, you have not. We're all, within the time segment where we're all calling in, keep doing it. We'll get you in the order that you received. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. I feel exhausted after that last song, man.
Okay, so, well, you should, because, see, this is what I wanted to play. Maybe.
Is it going to work?
Probably not. Because, you know.
Because you're on the spot now?
Yeah. That's exactly all right. It. This is all right. Awesome.
Let's just let it go.
It's cool. I'm closing out of the program
instead
now.
Instead of going on going the direction on the show of JT gets more and more angry with technology, let's just move to the poetry.
Yes.
So everybody, thank you so much for being patient.
Yes.
We don't know what happened. Just everything was lost. It took us a while to reboot it. And as I said, JT kind of turns into Scotty in the engine room. At moments like that, which is actually kind of entertaining, to be honest with you. But we have some great poets lined up. How many do we have?
10.
We have 10 poets. So we're going to get straight into this. Let's go, first of all, to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Oh, yes, here I am.
Oh, hang on, Dennis.
Yeah, hold on.
JT forgot a thing.
JT forgot one thing. Here, one second. All right, let's try that again.
Oh.
Let's try that again here. Welcome back, Dennis.
Oh, I'm back.
Hey.
Now he's in the right ear holes.
That sounded really authentic, just as good as it did the first time.
Thank you, Dennis, for being patient with me.
Not a problem.
All right. Well, we got everything back
just
now.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. We're happy you're here, too. So what do you have for us this time?
All right. I have another cover poem to read. The title is Social Amenities, and it was by Aldous Huxley. I'm getting on well with this anecdote when suddenly I recall the many times I have told it of old, and all the worked-up phrases and the dying fall of voice, well-timed in crisis, the note of mock heroic ingenuity struck. The whole thing sticks in my throat, in my face, all tingles and pricks with shame for myself and my hearers. These are the social pleasures, my God. But I finish the story triumphantly all the same. End of poem, a poem by Aldous Huxley.
Good choice. Good choice. Good read, too.
Yeah, he's got some humor to him. I like that.
It's kind of a dark humor. I mean, but it's
a bit dry, but it comes across.
But I think the dryness of his humor, once I read that, it suddenly gave me a totally different point of view on the rest of his work that I'm familiar with. You know, it suddenly made more sense.
Yes. Boy. So thank you once again for being here. Thank you, JT, for all your wizardry and getting us back together and going again. And thank you all for the platform and for allowing us to meet here. It's what a blessing it is to all of us.
Hey, thank you so much, Dennis. It means a lot to us, and I know JT feels the same way.
JT's super. I don't know what we'd do without him.
I don't know either. He's purposely holding back right now, so we're not accidentally saying the exact same things at the same time.
It's all good. But thank you again, and I'll let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'll say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. Now we're going to be heading over to to Titus. Is it Titus? Yeah, Titus. In the UK. Hello, Titus. Still need to, yes. We still need
see?
To.
Okay. There we go.
Hello,
sorry,
hello.
Sorry.
Hello, Titus. How's it going?
You just turned me on. Okay.
Yeah, it took a moment there. I'm sorry.
Well, also, during that commotion, I forgot what number you told me. So, in the queue.
Well, wait, we gave you a little bit of lead time, I guess.
Okay, yeah, lovely. Thanks. It's only a... Actually, this sonnet is read in a blink of an eye. So I actually dedicate this to a great man and a great poet, George Wiley. Many of you on the show here I've written dedications for, so I know there's no jealousy going on. This is called A Playful Poet Sang with Warmth of Greeting, dedicated to George Wiley. A playful poet who with music sang of daffodils and how their heads did hang, a cheery song about the cloudless sky, the sunshine with a sigh, oh my, oh my. The daffodils would gaze to greet the day. Our playful poet sang, but not that way. You need to feel the slightest movement waft, a voice angelic sweet, heads held aloft. Yet daffodils are touched by simple words. The playful poet's chorus afterwards sang, while you were not looking, resting warm, did bees arrive and with their greetings swarm. It is the playful poet who attracts the slightest of distraction with these facts. End of sonnet.
It's a lovely, lovely tribute. And I think George definitely deserves it. And I thought it was really nicely done.
the insightful bit is that sometimes that people come into your life when your heads are hanging down sometimes, and like the sun, they just sort of like look at you and say, oh my, what are we going to do about this guy? And then, of course, their little coming into your life is the distraction that they've taken you away from your woes, I guess. So that's Absolutely. What that's all about. And, of course, there's Dennis and Stan, or there's loads of them. But, yeah, each of you will get one eventually.
Thank you, Titus. Thank you. That was a great piece. I know he loved it looking at the chat room. So it means a lot. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Good show. Brilliant.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. And that was Titus Collins from the UK for the round two here, as we do during the return engagement. Now, is this lineup kind of the same as the first segment here, JT? It's yeah. It's somewhat similar.
Similar, I mean, but...
Okay, so we're going to head now to Kentucky and talk to Philip. Hello, Philip.
Hey, hey.
Hey, we're back, stronger than ever.
who unplugged the machine?
I'm not trying to... I did kind of trip over a cord walking back into the room, so I'm hoping that wasn't me. It's a...
I wish I could actually see JT when suddenly everything goes wrong, and I can certainly see Dottie.
It's amazing. There is we've joked around about it. There's reasons why we don't have video as part of the broadcast.
Right. Suddenly nobody's thinking about poetry. It's like, let's watch the JT show. Man, the commands, what's happening?
It's like, I'm trying to do it, Captain, but it's not. Yeah, it's just... And somehow I'm off making out with a girl, painted green. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, you recovered nicely, and I really appreciate the invitation back to the show. And also a shout-out to Eric. That was very kind. That was an endearing thing to have somebody else read one of my poems. I am touched. And then I'll get right into it because I know you got 10 poets lined up. So here we go.
All right.
The title... Soft N2O interruptions. Reclined, nearly asleep beside broad-paned windows in an empty, snow-pale room. Blithe absences among the unchanged, immaculate, traceless, divine, untouched. Nitrous drowsy on sweetened pink cloud puff auras, observing human blurs, light blue silhouettes witnessed on the other side of closed eyelids, semi-conscious returns from shipwrecked mirages, unlikely bottled messages retrieved from rippled purple surfaces, read in a church vacant, afar a voice, echoes, mumbled hypnagogic notions sounding vaguely truth-like. Everyone essentially the same, chasing pleasures into a grave, caught between tomorrow and those cavernous places of memory, outdone by forgetting because it outlasts us, an awaiting void etherized on a mild taste of oblivion. And there it is, fellers.
Really enjoyable piece, Philip.
I appreciate that, young man.
Absolutely. Young man.
Young man. Well, you know, if Mary was talking about suddenly you reveal your ages, and I forget how old, I never think about how old people are, and I forget you're like, you know, I'm like 45. I guess I'm saying I'm an old man, sir. I feel like an old man often, but anyway.
Here's the thing that I'm getting to, though. Like, I think JT and I, we both talked about this. There's more things to kind of handle, you know, physically, I'm noticing, but I got to say, I'm looking forward to getting older. I'm happy to be doing it because I feel like I'm getting better and better and better psychologically anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I feel very much the same way, and I jest when I say old. I think I mean more like old soul, not necessarily physically, but...
okay,
that I can agree with. Yeah.
I can agree with you.
When I get to Colorado, I will arm wrestle you, sir. Or
when I get down there. Yeah.
Okay, or I'll thumb wrestle you. Either way, you're going down, sir.
You're going down. You're going down. Down.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to hear you guys, and I look forward to next week and listening to the rest of the poets read tonight. So cheers to you both.
Cheers, Philip. Thank you.
All right.
And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. Man, good stuff. All right, now we're going to head to Alabama. This is a solid lineup. I'm looking at everybody here. This is going to be great. Let's go now to Stan in Alabama. Hello, Stan. Welcome back.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back, gentlemen.
All right. Hey, thanks for being patient.
36, 35, good gravy.
I know.
You
got that baby hair. I know. I mean, hey, whatever. You know, I remember hearing someone.
Whatever.
No.
Age is an irony. As young men, you step back from the urinal and complain of urinal splash back. As an older man, I stand close, grateful for the existence of gravity. What are you talking about?
I heard someone the other day say that they're turning 27. They're so old, and I just couldn't keep myself from laughing hysterically.
I want to slap them.
I know, right? It's like, shut up. You saying that shows exactly how not experienced you are. Anyway, I'm happy. Hey, Stan, I'm here for long haul, man. You know, that's the reason why I make commitments for 25 years or more, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm going to keep going until the damn wheels fall off. How's that sound?
Hey, my day is very simple to plan. Open the paper. If my name's not in the obituary, it's a good day. I'm on my way.
It's a good day for us, too. So, all right. I'm going to give you the stage now, okay?
Okay. I'm going to read a poem by a gentleman named Olaf Monger, M-O-N-G-E-R. He's a young poet who, quite frankly, I kind of like what the guy writes. And this piece he titled, Freed to Ride into the Noble West. With dusty, infested bowls waiting on the horizon and the lurid smiles of morally bankrupt and hedonistic train conductors controlling the weather vanes spinning wildly westward, we set out on our journey. That train wholeheartedly stops to pick up vagabonds. Despite the transport of precious weapons we inadvertently paid for while being blinded, because the engines confidently know that after all those captives those desperate suckers won't eventually ride for free. Instead, they and all of us will pay with our lives and the forgotten notion of our livelihoods and dreams. We will pay with our pledged allegiance as we incessantly bicker through flashes of sunlight as technology whisks all of us away down tracks, destined for death camps masquerading as capitalist free will in an echo chamber of easily deciphered propaganda and euphemistic celebrations. End peace.
Well, first of all, great read. And second of all, really interesting choice.
Well, I'll tell you why I chose it. One, I think it's about time we began to recognize that this concept of capitalism as it exists now does not seem to come with charity or conscience. Mm.
Really, you think taking houses from people just because of a technicality isn't charity? What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, you know, I look at it this way. When the same people, when many of the same people showed up in their, being flown into Washington, D.C. in their private jets, rolled up in their limos to pick up their first bailout, and many of the same ones boarded their limos and private jets and came back for their incentives.
Yep.
I really don't think it's fair to point at somebody with no roof over their head and claim them to be a taker.
Yep.
A little moral dilemma for me there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, nitpicking, right? Nitpicking.
Yeah, right. Stana, we're with you. We get this. We get it.
Yes. And like I said, this young man, him and her, she goes by the title C-Word or Crickle Copper, Copper Knot. Her and him put together a nice little group, which is pretty much a diverse artist group, which is paintings, people making jewelry, poetry, and all that. And that was one of the poems he posted, and he actually asked me if I would read one of his pieces, and I went through his pieces, and I found that one, and I thought, you know what? I'm a fecal agitation engineer. I can do this.
It's a compliment. It's a compliment. All right.
Absolutely.
Hey, Stan, thank you.
My pleasure. And gentlemen, on to the next.
All right. We'll see you next time, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama. I love these new poets you guys are bringing in here that I haven't heard before. It's pretty cool. All right. Now we're going to head to...
That's where we are. I can't...
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. It's Eric?
Yep.
All right. Hello, Eric. How's it going? How's it going, Eric?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. I know that wasn't quite a very good intro there. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
All right. What do you got for us this time?
All right. This time I got my own poem that I wrote. I'm going to read it, and then I will say there is one word in Korean, I believe, or Chinese, but I'm going to try to pronounce it the best I can. And anyways, it's called Some Call Him. I'm working on new projects, and I'll talk about that afterwards. It's actually a little long, so forget.
How long's a little long, Eric? Yeah. How long's a little long, Eric?
No, I'll just go with another one. That's cool.
Okay. Well, here's the thing I forgot to mention, actually, for anybody listening. If you have a really, really long poem, you still want to share it, one thing you might want to consider is being able to kind of like chop it in half or something and reading it on one segment to the other. That might not be a bad plan in the future, too. So if you decide to try that one, maybe consider that idea also if it runs way too long.
Yeah, I could do that. I could read a piece of it. Yeah, that's cool, because I just want to give you the feel.
Okay.
Well, it's called Some Call Him... dot, dot, dot. All right. Some call him... dot, dot, dot. Some call him a young general. Some call him an outstanding leader. Some call him a young master. Some call him Little Kim. Some call him a brilliant comrade. Some call him a great successor. Some call him Yang Mai, Yang Han, Tang Jai. Some call him Kim Fatty the Third. Some call him Kim Fat, Fat, Fat. Some call him Emperor Fudd. Some call him Pang Pang. Some call him Lord Too Fat to Launch a Missile. Some call him the Invisible or the Invincible and Triumphant Glutton. Some call him Rice the Cream Daddy. Some call him Kim Spider-Man Tuba. Some call him Future Ash. Some call him Thicky Smalls. Some call him Dead. Some call him Kim. Even if I write faster than Grum Un. Some call him the Deer Eater. Some call him the son of a nuclear winner. Some call him Piss Water Prince. Some call him Ronnery. Some call him Commander Butterball. Some call him the Great Defector. Some call him Kim Jockstrap. Some call him Slim Dong Op. Some call him Kim Jong Dashin. Some call him Smoked Ham. Some call him Dennis Rodman's. I can't read that one aloud. Sorry, I'm gonna skip over that. Censor. Some call him Dennis Rodman's baby. Some call him Dozen's chosen. Some call him the oon that was promised.
Some call him Rocket Man. Some call him the Great Eater. Some call him Bang Bang Style. Some call him North Korea's best leaner. That's where I'm going to cut it off. There's still quite a bit, so
that's okay.
I'm just giving you guys a feel. So. Yeah.
See, no, that's awesome, man. I appreciate that. Thank you for doing it. Thanks for editing and kind of catching that part. We do appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate you as well. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome so much, and thanks for the platform. Sorry I missed last Friday. My phone was just tripping. I don't know because I turned on, I listened to the website for the first segment, and then I tried to call in the next segment, and it just wasn't happening.
Hey,
so,
man, obviously we run into technical difficulties ourselves, so we totally understand.
Right, and so what I'm doing with these are, I came up with a plan, and actually I wrote a poem called Some Call Him, and it was Trump was my first one, Donald Trump.
Okay.
And basically what I'm trying to do is so I'm going to be writing, this is going to take a long time to do it, but it's a project that will, but it'll give me something to do too. But so I'm writing a project I just came up with, and I'm going to write a commentary on what basically everybody that I can find talks about, whether what they look like and what they call them. And I am doing every alive ruler of every country.
Wow.
So that's my goal.
All right, man. All right, cool.
So right now I got Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Obama, Barack Obama. I got Justin Trudeau, and I got Kim Jong-un. And I got Vladimir Putin too.
Okay.
So right. I'm getting there one person at a time.
Yep.
But I'm trying not to put a bias in it. I'm actually looking up what people say online, and then I'm using what they call the person, the nickname. I'm looking up derogatory nicknames, and I'm looking up good nicknames for each person, and I'm using the nicknames at the end, and then I just add the rest.
Yeah.
So it's a long list poem. And it's supposed to be humorous. So a lot of people are actually getting it. So, and hopefully, you know, I don't have the government beating on my door. So,
yeah.
And that'll go too far. So, but it is what it is. So, but yeah, thanks again, guys. I do appreciate it. I'm sorry I missed on occasion, but
no worries, man.
Got
no technical worries.
Difficulties too, so. All right, well, you guys have a great night.
You too, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm glad you guys liked it.
Thank you.
We did. Thank
and,
you.
And I might. You're welcome. Thank you. And I'll probably just share the rest, or if not, I'll share some of the next one.
All right, sounds
but
good.
It's not completely clean, so that's why I had to edit earlier. So,
all right,
but,
man. We'll appreciate all right, it.
Sorry, I could talk to you guys forever.
It's all right, buddy. All right, we'll talk to you next time, okay?
All right. See you guys next week.
See you then.
Later. Bye.
Bye. And that was Eric Connors from Texas with an abbreviated, abridged version of his piece. All right. Let's go now to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
All right, let's go now to.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Yes. Thank you. Very interesting night. I dug into my poetry book, You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hal, and I came up with this one called A Complex Man, because my birthday is coming up in 4 days, and we won't tell how old I'm going to be, but old enough. Here it is, a complex man. Beneath the surface is the man he once was, leaping through life on 2 healthy feet, jumping to play basketball, arms strong to hold me close. Beneath the surface, the young man lies, face unlined with his arrogant eyes and soft lips, mouthing the phrases young men use to entice women. Beneath his eyes is the man who once inhabited this body, virile and strong, eager to catch life in his teeth, looking for adventure around every turn. Each day a new place, spacing his moments, dreaming of a freedom he saw somewhere out there in the distance, planning for the future, always looking to tomorrow, not seeing today. The days are now filled with doctor appointments and long hours spent sitting in his leather chair with feet defeated by the disease that is silently destroying him. And though try as he might, it will not subside. He lives with the four-toed feet and accepts the wounds caused by his need to ingest the steroid that keeps him aware and holds back the sarcoidosis, injects himself with life-saving insulin, and holds back the truth of how he feels. When asked how he feels, his answer is always the same. How does he feel? His answer is always, fine, great, couldn't be better. The mix of medication, a cocktail, it takes five doctors to keep balanced. Beneath the hazel eyes I know so well is the youth he once was. And in dreams, his feet move running through the city streets as he did as a boy in poem.
That was, I don't know if you've read that one on here before. I really like that one.
I think I did. I think I read it like a long time
ago. A couple years ago or something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe when the book was first published, but I know that that poem always comes to me in times when, you know, there's an event.
Sure.
I think about him, you know, because the photo of him in the book is so unlike, you know, what he was when he was younger. So it's, you know. Anyway, I'm going to have a birthday July 31st. So I will be older next time.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you. And I just want to say that if you get a chance to listen to the program from Thursday, if you didn't get a chance earlier, Philip is on there, but this new person that I met, Andrew Joseph Cole, who is Philip's friend and who he introduced me to, has fantastic work. I'll just say that you would enjoy listening to his work.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's not poetry. It's prose, but it's just on the edge of your seat kind of stuff. And I think you'd really like it.
Very cool.
So anyway, talk to you guys later. Have a great weekend, and hope everything works out, and that, you know, just to Raj, my prayers are with you if you're still there, and, you know, keep strong. We'll all think positive about you. Take care. Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, her second time this evening. All right. Now, do we need her to call in, JT? Our next caller?
Hold on.
Oh, no, she's right there.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why now, I was like, hang on.
Now we're going to go to Mary in Wisconsin. Oh, you know what, though? We're going to need her to call back anyway. Oh, yeah. Mary, we're having that Skype issue again. If you could hang up and call us back. By the way, George and Mama, it's probably going to be the same thing. And Jim. So if you guys want to hang up and just call in an order, that might save us some time here.
This is going to be the awesomest. Just kidding.
Here we go.
Ready?
Okay. Hello, Mary.
No, don't say Wisconsin. Please don't.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
You're from Arizona.
I'm not really here.
You're in a land residing somewhere above superior, as you like to say.
above freezing, at least. Jesus.
Yeah, above freezing anyway. All right, so what do you have for us?
The windows are open. I took a little kayak ride. I got wet, and then I got chilly, and I had to take a hot shower, but I'm here. That's what I am. I'm here.
All right. Perfect.
So, in Wisconsin, here I read this poem, but I belong in Arizona. The Etiquette of Dreams. The etiquette of dreams, always once and more removed.
steering into incomplete realms previously imagined or not. Increasingly non-denominational. Phrases and attitudes, products and conclusions on indefinite hold, while scenarios play out. In my case, with enraptured wings, off to fly from here to Anon and back, sometimes with warp neck speeds near the sound barrier, and spirals of proliferating materials of the day, being sorted through in necessary shelves assembled to hold the leftover thoughts still unprocessed. Considerations and moral recaps taken. Factors of tenfold differences and acidic environments. Incomprehensible to live in harmony with such things. The rage plays out as well, with infernals, volcanic eruptions, taken just to the pointed edge of death, but saved again. Return for just at least one more revolution. Thus, particulars, eternally misplaced. But perfection was only a key, and not obtainable, see. Unsettled taste, until the final processional, where all, even the music, stopped. Night escape complete, and first sunlight warms me back to life again. End poem.
Man, Mary, I really, really like what you share with us every week. I really do.
And I love you for saying that, you less than 40-year-old.
Well, towards the end of September, I'll be 40.
Hey, I got a lot of living so far into these 37 years, I got to tell you.
Hey, there's a lot of living that can go on. I was wise at 5, and I was wiser at 26, and I'm still wise. I was so wise at your age, and I just want to kiss
you. Hell, I'm not wise at all. What are you talking about? No, I'm.
No, it's your ignorance. It's your ignorance.
No, I know. That's what you mean. I get it too, because I always thought I had things figured out. At least I don't know the road. I know enough to know that I don't know a damn thing. That's
funny. I don't know that age teaches me anything at all. That's all I know.
You know what? I keep going back to, what is the line from Macbeth about how life is basically, what is it, the very paraphrase, like the ramblings of an idiot signifying nothing. Like, anyway. All right, Mary, we love you.
See, with that said, we say adieu to you and yours. I'm
in
Camelot.
Existential angst and good night.
Sound of Music and good night to you and years.
Good night, Mary. Thank
good
you.
Night.
Until we do again.
Go sink a stranger's kayak for me. Okay,
right.
I'll see you later.
No, I'll listen. I'll listen to the end because that's what I do.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that was Mary giving us a call from Arizona, not Wisconsin.
Yes, somewhere out there.
All right, Jim, why don't you give us a call here? Oh, if he's already still on the line.
We can try.
Let's give it a try, but I bet.
Yep.
And there we go. Hey, Jim, you need to give us a call right back. It just kind of happens. It's like the...
Yeah.
You know? I kind of feel like that's something that should have been handled in the last update of Skype, don't you?
No.
How many years have we had this problem now? Several?
Couple.
Yeah. Years seem to go by really fast in this show. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go. Dilly dilly, Jim.
Dilly day!
Yep. You know what I do?
Misery.
You know what I'm doing, JT? I find a small evil, and I just break myself against it. It's like a Cormac McCarthy novel. I just... All right, Jim, what do you got for us?
Well, gonna have a short one. Everyone asked us, they were saying I should do Death Valley Rainstorm.
Okay.
I got dry as I got wet. End of poem.
I love it. Love
Jim,
it.
I think you're missing a huge opportunity here to have a set of T-shirts for sale with your poetry on the front. Like Death Valley, you know what I mean?
Especially that one.
Yeah, and then you even include the words end poem at the end. I think it'd be hilarious. No, yeah, I like that one a lot. I like the brevity there,
yes.
Jim.
Well, I did say short.
Yes, you did.
And you meant it, my friend.
George is saying, James, wonderful. But way too long.
Yep.
Hello.
Jim, thanks so much, man. We always appreciate it, and this is no exception.
Well, it's almost one of the shortest poems ever written.
Almost.
Yeah, it's three syllables longer than the shortest.
Woo. Okay.
Yeah, you've heard of The Antiquity of Microbes?
You know what? I have. What?
Yeah, I remember that in school. It's like, okay, Yeah,
okay.
It's like a Philip Matthew Roberts title and then a Jim Rothstein poem.
Okay.
Yes. Is it Strickland Gillian? Yeah, okay, I'm remembering this now.
Adam.
Haddam. That's the poem. Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Jim, I had forgotten about that thing. Thanks for bringing that up. Great.
My pleasure.
All right. Hey, thanks good so much, night. Jim. Have a good night, okay? We'll see you next time, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Bye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Like that. Adam. Had him.
And the title is?
It's The Antiquity of Microbes.
Yeah, totally longer than the...
Do you... did you ever hear... Did I ever tell you about the short story competition? That they had asked a bunch of different writers to do the shortest story in, I think, or short story in four words.
Mm.
Right? And they go to Ernest Hemingway. And... Or no, it's six words. I'm sorry, six words. And he did it. He did a short story in six words. Baby shoes for sale, never worn.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. Good writing. All right. Now, George, give us a call here if you could.
We'll test.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Yeah, George, so it's the same situation. So I'm going to have JT hang up on you, and then just give us a call right back, and then we'll go from there. And, Mama, just get ready. After George, it'll be your turn.
I don't know what's wrong with this system. Look at this. It doesn't stop.
This is you getting cranky about technology again.
It is.
This is good radio. Hey, George, great how's radio. It going?
Hey, doing fine. Isn't technology wonderful?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in so many ways it is.
I remember when power steering was important, was new. So,
yeah.
Television. So,
yeah.
God, this is, we've gone so fast and so far so wonderfully without any misuse that, I'm just really impressed anyway.
I remember one time complaining to someone about technology while on my cell phone driving in a Mercedes down a paved road with lights, and I suddenly realized I might be a little bit of a jackass.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, the software guys can blame the hardware guys, and the hardware guys can blame the software guys.
Yes, they can.
And then it goes on from there. But okay, well, my poem here is a bit off from what everybody's doing. It's a sort of a mushy sweet thing. Maybe it's way too sweet for late at night, but it's a sonnet. And, of course, Titus spoke a beautiful sonnet just not many minutes ago. It's called Sonnet for a Dear One. Come down, thy face appears again,
exactly as I saw thy last. Across the pillow tops remain the same eyes no one has surpassed. Beneath the willows we did meet and touched our tender skins of love. You gathered roses at your feet. We set our sails to skies above. With hearts conjoined and fates aligned, we chose to mingle our heartbeats. Not darkened rains nor storms of kind might quell by the fever thy presence heats. And as the evenings shine, doth you in golden soft repose, I stow the wind sails of my search, accept what our hearts chose. End of poem.
Yes. Yes.
That's the kind of poem that should be probably be read like on a Sunday afternoon open mic. Not a Friday night.
Oh, it's fine on a Friday night.
You know, I remember hearing someone say one time, and this there's a little jump between where I'm going right now and where you are, but I remember someone saying one time, you know, he was talking to men specifically, you know, the kind of guy you're trying to pretend you are when you're picking up a girl, or you're like you're trying to impress a girl, just be that guy all the time. Don't try to impress her. Become that guy. And, you know, and then I kind of, you can skip farther and say, you know, I think the ideas sometimes that we come up with late at night or that come across are things kind of sometimes worth seeing how we can work them into our actual daily life and kind of slip out of the mundane a bit. And I think what's right. I think what's worth being read on a Sunday afternoon is worth being read on a Friday night, too.
Well, that's good to hear. And you're stuck with it anyway.
It's done now.
Yeah, that's fair. Take it or leave it. Okay, well, it's just been a great night, and I'm enjoying it very much. So I'm looking forward to next time, and you guys take care.
Hey, you too, George. You too. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Right. Good night. And that was George calling from Michigan, his second time at bat this evening. I'm going to start just doing this like a baseball commentator.
Okay.
You think?
That'd be a little odd, but okay.
Grand slam! You know.
You want to ask?
Hey, Mama, will you give us a call, please? All right.
Wonderful.
So next week is going to be the first Monday, or first Monday.
First Friday,
of the month,
yep.
Which means we'll have an After Dark.
Yes, we will.
We'll have a new poetic form of the month.
Yes.
And we'll be doing the three clues for the new poet
of the month. Yeah.
So the train just keeps on moving.
This would be awesome.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to jump in the chat room here. Just see if Mama is around to do anything. I don't know if she's in the chat. She's still on. I don't know if she's in the chat room. I'm not seeing her.
Okay.
All right, Mama, we're going to give you, we'll give you a little while longer, about 30, 40 seconds to get a call in here, okay? All right. So, at any rate, JT, let me ask.
Yeah.
You've been going through a lot of school, and and I know you're not, now you've been going to classes more. You're not just on, oh, here she is.
Perfect.
Perfect. We don't even get into it.
Gotta love that chime, huh?
Hello, Mama.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect.
I am the word, madam. That's the name of this piece. I read it to you before. I'm going to read it again. I'm the word, madam, playing with words erotically. You must listen to me to get the deepest meaning metaphorically. Words work for me like ladies of the night. They bring me what I ask for. My words are money divas like the oldest profession in the world. Words teasing you, suggesting to your core what, when, and how you want it. Prostituting pronouns working for me, hustling for me. You feel what they leave you with. I am the poetry madam. Pimping, macking, slapping these phrases is what I do. Smacking these old metaphors around, and I give the young ones new words, some bling to compete with the colloquialism and their hooks. High-class hookers in my stable bringing experience to the table like old working girls who are likened to an oxymoron. It hurts so good. Intellectual women with intuition broads with brass balls, talking back, giving men a hard time, pun intended. Brutal subordination, watch how they handle it. You feel what I leave you with. Old broads are like vocabulary queens, empresses of sentences, patronizing the patrons with promises. Expressionists turning tricks into patronizing future appointments with ballots for money, for monetary exchange. My spit is like past participles dangling, sliding down poles, a pregnant pause waiting for a lap dance. He then made it rain. The ending was a proposition, wrongly being accused as a preposition. Phone sex, a date just listens to sex talk. She makes him think it's all his idea, but what he does, but what he wants done to him. Tricks of the respected trade, like sexy soliloquies in silk panties, draped fur boas and high heels. He has heard her, never laid his eyes on her. My poetry will lie to you and make you pay for the privilege. My poetry will blow smoke up your derriere and tell you how to receive the message. Lull you to sleep with a lullaby. She, the master of making up alibis, making manipulation look like miracles. My words can only do what I tell them to do because I cannot afford to leave wanton adverbs such as sibilously and salacious running around naked in my poems, at least not for free. Lasciviously and to the, I can't even say that one, S-C-I-V-I-O-U-S, anyway. That's that piece. Word, man.
Still enjoyed it. That's still
yeah.
good.
Yeah, still really like that one, Mama.
Okay, baby.
Thank you so much for everything, and thank you for sticking with us this evening.
No, that's all right. I look forward to this. My pleasure. And you guys are great. Got great sense of humor. You know, you're very encouraging with your comments. So, like, it's a plus for me. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. And we'll see you next time, okay?
All right.
All right. Bye. And that was Mama from Cleveland, Ohio. She's rounding out our return engagement segment. So, first of all, before we go any further, I really do want to say thank you. For all of you for sticking around, for sticking with this over so long. And I was telling someone who was just getting introduced to our show, kind of a potential business partner here, because we're working on some things, like including a new Posick Fest and all kinds of things. We'll probably call it something different, though. I was trying to explain to them about something. They said, oh, well, do you have people who call back multiple times? And I sat that out like, you know what? Not only do we have people who call back often, but we have people who show up almost every and every Friday.
Yeah.
Every single show. They're there. They're engaged. They're doing great work, and they're just really positive and everything. And, guys, that is so rare. And you guys make the show what it is. If it's without you guys, it would just be JT and I sitting in a basement somewhere. It doesn't matter. So I want to just turn this around and give a huge thank you to you for everything you do for us. And we're trying to think of ways to serve you better. That's why we do all of this stuff, and that's why even that idea of the website came up, was the idea of how do we serve you guys better. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably be in touch, because the thing is, if we decide to build something like that, we got to make sure we're 100% committed to it. We can do something good. But we'll be leaning on all of you, and you guys will be the people kind of help build the what we're hoping will be like a poet's like paradise on the internet. You know, just the best it could possibly be. But you already do that here with this show, and we want to say thanks so much. So until next time, which we have all kinds of new stuff from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT and from myself. You know, we love you. Thanks so much. And until next time, keep writing.